sports week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. I am Peter Clote in for Sonny Young. Today's show will be filled with AFCON football action, as well as Nigerian Football Association working on some potential partnerships with the Ministry of Sports. Now let's get into the December 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Starting off this show with some AFCON news, my colleague Mokbil Yabaru and Mike Hove discussed the teams that have the potential to win the Africa Cup of Nations tournament, any dark horses in the race, and which players are game changers for their teams. Let's take a listen.
Excited to talk AFCON. As you know, me and you will be two huge parts of the VOA Africa AFCON coverage. I'll be there on the ground, and you will be hosting of the AFCON podcast as well, alongside Kali Abdu and Sonny Young. So let me run down some of the groups that we have for AFCON. Group A has Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Equatorial Guinea, and Guinea-Bissau. Group B is Cape Verde, Egypt, Ghana, and Mozambique. Group C is Cameroon, Gambia, Guinea, and Senegal. Group D, Algeria, Angola, Burkina Faso, Mauritania. Group E, Mali, Namibia, South Africa, Tunisia. And Group F, DR Congo, Morocco, Tanzania, and Zambia. Of the teams mentioned, if you were to pick potential favorites, who are you picking?
Listen, man, my favorites keep changing, I don't want to lie. And I think it's because the more that I'm spending time actually watching African players play, you know, now that AFCON's approaching, I'm giving more attention towards the African players. My favorites keep changing. Initially, I was really gunning with African sides. You know, I was talking about Ghana. I was looking at the host Ivory Coast and, of course, Nigeria. But now that I'm watching the Moroccan players, a lot of them are also keeping off their radar. So we have to include them among the favorites. And, of course, Egypt. I think this might arguably could be Mo Salah's last AFCON if possible. So I think he's hungry for that too. So my favorites keep changing as we go, but I can definitely say that I just mentioned. So we're talking Ghana, Senegal, Nigeria, Ivory Coast, or Cote d'Ivoire, and, of course, Morocco and Egypt.
Ooh, I like those picks. I think those picks are, I won't say safe, but I'll say safe. You know what I mean, Mike?
It is what it is. These are just the teams that have the players that are really hot right now. And the squads themselves are just undoubtable. They've proven the test of time. A lot of the players are playing incredibly amazingly right now. If you look at Nigeria, for example, I was watching Victor Osimhen just the other day, AFCON Player of the Year, African Player of the Year, I apologize. He's playing like he's hungry. Like, he's playing amazingly. So I'm really curious to see what he does for Nigeria. We saw Mundo, he didn't do amazing stuff to Manchester United, which thank God he did not. You know, he's playing amazingly. Even if we look at Cameroon, typically, I'm not a big fan of Andre Onana, but if you saw his performance against Liverpool, it's something to be applauded. Lately, he's been turning on the gears, and it looks like he's the hungry man that might be looking to do amazing things for Cameroon. So I'm really looking forward to this AFCON, man. A lot of players are really turning up a notch.
Absolutely, man. Another player to watch that I think his market value is on the way up, Victor Boniface, playing for Bayer Leverkusen. Leverkusen is at the top, the top of the Bundesliga. He has 10 goals and 7 assists in 16 matches. He is on fire. So to pair him with Victor Osimhen, I'm just going to call it, this is Victor squared. Victor Boniface and Victor Osimhen, like, what's going on? These two are on fire right now. So I'm expecting to see Nigeria turn it around, because, you know, they didn't really have that strong of for their World Cup qualifiers. Two games that they played did not impress me, did not show their level of quality that I know that team has. Our colleague Kali Abdu and I actually had a conversation about this yesterday, where we said sometimes teams like Nigeria have a different challenge than other African nations, right? Where they have too many players to pick from. They have too much quality to pick from. So to me, that seems like it's the biggest problem for Nigeria. But I'm excited to see what they do. Ivory Coast is extremely hot coming off of that their World Cup qualifiers as well, and they are the host nation. Come on, man.
Of course. I mean, here's the thing, though. I favor the fact that they're the host nation. Of course, they've always been AFCON giants, right? So when it comes to AFCON, Ivory Coast is definitely a team that you always want to include in the mix because they always bring out giants and they always play. And they play to win. But my thing is, there's still a lot of teams that are doing amazing things. I also want to bring back a chart about Nigeria. So one thing I did notice, Nigeria's problem, they have a lot of forwards. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the rest of the side. You know what I mean? So when we have a chat about incredible players, a lot of them are players that are playing either on the wing or they're playing up front. I'm yet to see, like they typically usually did back in the day, where they had solid CDMs, where they had solid wings. Like every player that we're talking about here is a striker, right? We're talking about Boniface. We're talking about Osimhen. Now, of course, these are game changers, but you need to have a solid back line. You need to have a solid midfield. So I'm really curious to see who's going to be turning it up for Nigeria for that. Their squad does not have stars like they typically would. I'm here to see a standout player that I say, okay, this one is going to be the game changer. But once again, they are the host nation. So they're definitely going to be turning it up. And at times, you don't need stars to make it happen. But once again, like I said, they're still in the mix. They're still among the teams that I definitely am ranking up there.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree with you that their biggest problem is, you know, being able to quote unquote build from the back, right? This is a stylistic change that has come to the game as of late. That, you know, you want your goalkeeper even to be really good with his feet so that you can build from the back. But they do have all those superstars up front. How then do you get the ball to them is what you're asking, which is a very fair ask. So
exactly.
We will see what they'll be able to do. If you look at Group C, right? To me, I think Group C has Cameroon, Gambia, Guinea, and Senegal. I think that's a very tough group. Cameroon and Senegal are expected to come out, but Guinea has been known to throw in to throw in a wrench or two into the plans. So who do you think ends up at the top of that group, Cameroon or Senegal?
Like I said, I do give it at the top. It's definitely going to be a good one, but I will give it, and I'll give it to Senegal merely because they're the reigning champs, right? And they also have a couple of big names. But at the same time, Cameroon also has a couple of big names. We're talking Vincent Aboubakar, we're talking Andre Onana. There's a couple of big names that are on the Cameroonian squad, but I just don't know if they have it in them. I think they'll make it through, and then they'll figure it out. But I think the team that's going to be topping that will be Senegal, and then Cameroon and Guinea will just have to battle it out for second spot. That's what I would place it.
Okay, that's fair. If you were to think of any potential teams that you think maybe are, I wouldn't say necessarily dark horses in the race, but a team that people are not expecting that potentially can do well in this tournament, I'll throw in a couple of potential options. South Africa, maybe Tanzania. You just have to keep telling me whether or not to stop or not. I'll just keep going. Burkina Faso, Guinea-Bissau.
Dark horse, possible.
Yeah. If Guinea-Bissau was in a group outside of that Ivory Coast-Nigeria group, I think they would have had a better chance. But I still think that they, you know, you never know. I think I really like that team, actually, Guinea-Bissau. So... Maybe them. As for if we talk implications on African players on their club teams, what are your thoughts on some of these club teams? Let's say, for instance, I give you an example, Liverpool, right? Liverpool only has one player going to the AFCON, but that player happens to be Mohamed Salah, right? And he's really killing it. He's leading. He's second in the EPL for scoring goals, only behind Haaland this year. Really has been very productive for them on the wing this year. What do you think that does to Liverpool's chances at, you know, winning the EPL? Because he's going to be gone for a stint, right?
Right, for about a month. Salah is a very... If we're speaking of, I think it definitely will dent a couple of teams. But I don't think... I wouldn't put Liverpool up there with them, mainly because... As much as Salah is up there contributing, I think they just need to find a player that can hold it down for a month. And I think they have enough talent to be able to penetrate the defenses within EPL for a month. However, once again, if we're talking about the AFCON tournament itself and how it implicates a lot of teams across the world, I'll start off with our team, right? Manchester United. We have our starting goalkeeper, and our second-string goalkeeper is yet to be tested. Nana out for a month. It's a big question mark for Manchester United, for example, right?
Right.
Chelsea has a lot of stars, but Nicolas Jackson plays a very pivotal role up front for them. And so that's a big question mark regarding what exactly happened. You know what I mean? And not just looking at EPL. If you look at, for example, the Saudi League, Al Nassr, you've got Sadio Mane out. You've got all these teams. All these teams are really going to catch that heat once AFCON starts going, because a lot of African players are starting to play a pivotal role within their team.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. To me, if I look at all these teams, the one team that comes to mind that is unfortunately going to get hit big time is Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest is a team that is almost at the very bottom of the EPL. At the moment, they are in 17th place, right? So they're not in that relegation zone. They are above Luton Town by about 5 points, with 14 points. But Mike, when I tell you they are losing 7 players to the AFCON tournament.
Oh, no.
7 big players. 3 to Ivory Coast, 2 to Senegal, and 2 to Nigeria. So this is going to be a big, big blow for this team. And this could really change the entire trajectory of them, because 4 games could be exactly the wins that they need, or could put them so low that they might not be able to recover and get relegated. So, man, best of luck to Nottingham Forest. Yeah.
That's the thing with the tournament, right? It's happening at such a pivotal time for a lot of leagues, right? So it's not at the beginning, but it's not at the end. But it's at that sweet spot where a team needs to, gain points and pick up momentum.
Yeah.
Either determine whether or not you're winning the championship or, facing relegation, right? Because it's at that point where it's like, this is what, 4, 5, 6 games?
Yeah.
Where it's like that mid, I wouldn't call it mid-table, but like mid-season, where if you win those games, you could open such a gap that you could win EPL, for example, right? Or if you lose those 3, the gap could be so much tighter that the Man City could pick up points. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's at that point where it really could make a big difference for a lot of teams.
That was Mugwill Yabro and Mike Hovey discussing all things AFCON. Don't forget, you can follow the AFCON action in the coming weeks here at Voice of America. Staying with football, the Nigerian Coaches Association recently met with the country's Ministry of Sports to discuss training for coaches and possible partnerships. For more details, Mike Mbonye spoke with Association President Gabriel Opuana.
Our purpose of meeting with the minister was to introduce ourselves to the minister officially and get the recognition from the sports ministry, which we really got, and we're happy with the outcome of our visit to the minister.
The minister reportedly said in that meeting that Nigerian coaches deserve all the attention that they should be given and that they will partner with them. What's your take on this?
Yeah, actually, that was the main reason why this association was formed. We formed this association based on what we were seeing on ground. It's been a while. For so many years now, Nigerian coaches have not been sent out for coaching courses or any of these referral, recertification courses. So we now, on our own, decided we should form this association so we can source for funds from corporate bodies, individuals, and see what we can do about training and retraining our own coaches. Because like I told the minister, people look at athletes not performing well. We keep complaining our athletes are not responding to trainings and other things. But people have not thought about the coaches coaching these athletes. Because it is what you as a coach give to these athletes that they give back to you. And coaching now is science. When you don't send your coaches out for training, they'll be a cake.
From what you've said so far, did the minister or the ministry agree to partner with the Nigerian Coaches Association and even the corporate world to assist in retraining your members?
The minister has promised to do something about that. And honestly, he's going to be one of the first or the very first minister to really look into this coaching problem, because we've been singing songs about coaches to be trained and retrained for so many years. Most of these ministers that have come and gone did not really tackle that issue. But he has given us his words, and we're happy. He promised us that he's going to look into it, not just look into it. He's going to make sure our coaches are trained and are retrained. And we're very happy with what he said.
Did the Nigerian Coaches Association also, did they make a case for the Paris Olympic Games as in preparation of athletes, early preparation of Nigerian athletes for the Olympic Games?
Yeah, that was one of the things we discussed with the minister. And so far, there are plans on ground to kickstart the training of athletes and camping of athletes before the before the All Africa Games and the Olympics. There are plans on ground towards getting that done, which I know of.
And coaches will be fully involved in the process.
Coaches are the backbone of the sports ministry, and that is the main reason why we're trying to make sure that the coaches are being recognized and the coaches will equally do what they are supposed to do as coaches. And once those are taken care of, everything will be fine. Like we told the minister, we used to have exchange programs. Nigeria used to send coaches to countries like Bulgaria, Australia, Germany, Cuba, and other places. That has not been done for so many years now. So we're now appealing to this minister to look into it and then start sending coaches overseas. I remember the first gold medal we enjoyed in Nigeria from the Olympics by Chioma Ajuma. It came through one of these exchange programs. The coaches from Cuba that came were the ones that coached her, and she excelled and won an Olympic gold. So if we continue things like that, more medals will roll in. That we are sure of.
Okay, talking about the All Africa Games in Accra, Ghana next year, and even the Olympic Games, and from your position as the president of Nigerian Coaches Association, does Nigeria have medal prospects in these two games?
Yeah. Talking about medal prospects, yeah. By the special grace of God, medals won't be a problem. But what we're trying to do now is to get more medals, not just getting few, but more medals that will make Nigeria proud. That's the main reason why we want to get everybody on deck so we achieve this and more results, more better results will equally come our way.
Thank you so much, Coach, for speaking to the VOA.
Thank you very much, as usual. Thanks for being there for us as well.
That was Gabriel Opuana, president of the Nigerian Coaches Association. He spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye in Abuja, Nigeria. Uganda sports lovers had plenty to love this year. Uganda star runner Joshua Cheptegei defended his 10,000 world championship title, while compatriot Victor Kiplingat won gold in the Budapest Marathon. In football, Uganda's national football team, the Cranes, has a new coach who is promising exciting football, and fans all over East Africa are thrilled by the news. The region will host the 2027 AFCON tournament. Reporter Mugume Davis Rakaringi has more from Kampala, Uganda. Sporty greetings, Mugume.
Kiplangat here, now beginning to forge a gap. And at last, this powerful, barrel-chested little Ugandan forges a gap on the opposition, on the chaser from Ethiopia. This man will have them punching the air and roaring him home in Uganda. Victor Kiplangat. Commonwealth gold last year, world gold this year. This has been a quite spectacular winning final lap from him, and he crosses the line in 208.52 to take world gold.
Uganda marathoner Victor Kiplangat ran the best race of his life to win Uganda a gold medal on the final day of the Budapest 2023 World Athletic Championships.
The race was actually tough somehow, but when you prepare well and you be disciplined and you focus, my focus was to win a gold medal today in this city, and it has come to pass.
Compatriot Joshua Cheptegei, the 10,000 world record holder, said he was delighted about his championship performance.
I'm very happy, of course, to have defended my title here again in Budapest. I want to thank God for always giving me the opportunity and the grace. I know that this wasn't so easy, especially with the injuries after the World Championship. And to come here and win the most special medal is phenomenal for me.
Another highlight of the year was the sacking of Uganda national football team coach Milutin Thrudovich Micho after the Cranes failed to qualify for next year's Ivory Coast AFCON. Micho was replaced by Belgian Paul Joseph Put, who promised not only good results, but entertaining football.
I am a very ambitious person, and when I sign for a country, it's to obtain results. To bring a team, a strong team, a team who can perform for 2027. The second challenge is to install a universal playing style for Uganda national teams. Produce an entertaining and purposeful football.
Put's first task was against Guinea, a match the Cranes lost by 2-1. This was followed by a narrow 1-0 victory against Minos Somalia for the first 3 points toward 2026 World Cup qualifier. Fans across the East African region are delighted about winning hosting rights for the 2027 AFCON finals. The Confederation of African Football named Uganda, Kenya and Tanzania the joint hosts. Rogers Muringwa, the spokesperson of the Council of East and Central Africa Football, says the region is capable of organizing Africa's biggest football tournament.
By December 2025, we want to make sure we have realized all the goals as required by CAF, so that in 2027, everybody is ready here to receive the Africa, the whole Africa.
For the coming AFCON finals in Ivory Coast next month, the Tanzania Taifa Stars will be the only East African representative. Tanzania sports analyst Nasiri Nchimbi says the region expects a lot from the Taifa Stars.
We are going to be slated in groups that will have very, very tough countries, Algeria being one of them, Egypt, Senegal. We have to be very prepared, and the technical bench has to be very prepared. But I can say that players have to be very, very ready, because they're the ones that will be representing the country.
The She Cranes, Uganda national netball team, was another major highlight of the year, finishing a respective 7th at the Netball World Cup held in South Africa. Talking of World Cups, for the first time, the Ghana national cricket team qualified for T20 Series World Cup, being held next June in Caribbean nations and the United States. For the sunny side of sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugumi. Keep flipping our way over to skating. My VOA colleague Paul Indio interviews Onija Zani, a self-taught professional roller skater from Lusaka, Zambia, who is making waves in the roller skating world. Despite the challenges of skating in the city street, he is using innovative technology to bring the sport to life. Onija's skills have made him an internet star, and he has represented Zambia in international competitions. He uses his expertise to train other roller skaters in Zambia and beyond.
It started out as a hobby for you going to school, but you've since turned this passion into a sport where you have signed up young people across the country. Bring us up to speed.
Ever since a friend of mine taught me how to skate, I've been striving to keep up with the skill and also practice with the same skill within my community. So every time after practicing or during practicing, there's always this attraction of the sport to bring people to join. So apart from that also, I've seen people wanting to be recruited in the skating business. And with that, I can say it has brought a lot of people, not only within Lusaka where I stay, but also people out of Lusaka in different other provinces. People who roller skate, they get in touch with me. I do help them with some videos, just to use them as a reference point for them to learn more about roller skating, and also link ups when they come within the capital city of Zambia in Lusaka. We have an opportunity to skate together.
What does it take to be a terrific roller skater?
As for me, I can say I've been skating for more than 19 years, so it's not something that it's gradual. Or everyone who would hear my opinion would say it's difficult because they'll say I've been skating for a long time. But it is not that difficult. It is actually easy. It's not scary because people think of the falling part as the first element when they say roller skating, even skateboarding. So with that phobia, they tend to shy away and say, I don't want to learn anything that will hit me. We all know during any learning lesson, doesn't matter what sport it is, there are always challenges and there are always failures. You fall, you will have challenges and problems at some point, which I'm not saying that you actually cease to do the sport if you have all those fallings. They're just minor. Then afterwards, you eventually improve and progress. So on my part, until now, I would say I do fall when I'm trying something way more extreme. But knowing that if I do not try that, I won't become a better roller skater. Same with my students, whom I teach in Zambia. They are good skaters, but with more having intrinsic motivation, they have managed to excel even way better than me.
How many people have you trained this far?
Let me approximate. So approximately now, say maybe 600 plus, because aside from me doing the club training with people within my community, I also do offer like private lessons. So for the private lessons, there are many. And over the years, which I was also using for the sake of my fundraising at school, at the University of Zambia, as you know, I was never accommodated there. I was roller skating, going and coming back. That was also part of my marketing, that people would see me of skating and therefore they want some lessons. And through that, I would divide my time during my education time with also my lesson time that people would come for private lessons, and I would use that as a fundraising feature.
So if I hear you correctly, you've already inspired hundreds of young people across Zambia. And these are people who are doing it for fun and at a professional level.
True. I would say, yes, that's true. Because majority of them, they have improved their skills. Even the babies, the ones I teach, they were young when we were starting. But if you see how many years, about 5 years passed, they have been so good that they are even better than some of the big guys who are joining recently, and they've maintained their skills so abruptly.
Is this something where people pay a fee, or it's one of those things where you offer to the community?
With that, I would say it's divided into two sectors or two parts. So for the community part, I do not charge any amount from them. I don't charge them any amount. They actually come to my club and they learn for free. So far, openly, I would say there's a company called Six Light Media. that have helped us to purchase, one, some outfits, some protectors, helmets, and also gloves, including some roller skating shoes.
That was VOA's Paul Ndiho speaking with Zambian skating star Onija Zani. And that's a wrap for the December 22nd edition of the show. Hope you all have a great day. I'm Peter Clotte in Washington, in for Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.